Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. We're waiting for our guest, and really, actually, the brother that does the show today, our brother and friend, Brother Yusuf Abdul Salam from the great city of Selma, Alabama. So soon as he arrives, we will have him on. I'm going to play a tape. I'm burnt out. I'm going to play a tape.
Blog Talk Radio.
So our brother arrives.
Good afternoon. As-salamu alaykum, that is peace be unto you. Welcome to the Sunday edition of Religion Means Alive. We are happy to be here today.
Oh, Brother Imam, I'm sorry, I hit the phone on mute. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. Is our brother with us? We're waiting for Brother Imam Yusuf Salam. I'm going to put a tape as I try to get him.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon.
Brother Imam? Yes, sir.
Yes.
We are ready for our dear brother. We had a little technical problem, but he has arrived and he's ready, willing, and able to assist us with words of wisdom, understanding, and comprehension. We thank God for him. We're excited. Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam.
With Allah's name, the praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank him for the blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah, and what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophets mentioned in Bible as it is given in the Quran. Dearly beloved people, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum. Let me just say quickly that we are living in, as the Imam said, the great and dreadful days of the Lord. Great for the believers and dreadful for the disbelievers. We're living in Yom Medin, the day of the scientific judgment, and not the doomsday fantasy that's been given to the masses of this world's life. We're living in the day of Yom Kiyamah, the day of resurrection. And if we look closely at events, and if we reflect on those events, we can see the signs of the time. We can see the signs of the time. Dearly beloved audience, I have something that really should take quite a while, but I have an obligation later on with family, so I'm going to try to spend very, very quickly, about 40, 45 minutes on our topic today and move on. Maybe a second or two for questions if we have any. If not, I'll just move on. And we can't talk about anything but debunking the myth of Ham, reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. And this is a special year for the Imam Muhammad's mission in terms of this 40th anniversary. And let me tell you, there are many anniversaries coming up this year. There's the 100th anniversary of the beginning of the Garvey Movement in America, 1915. There's the 90th anniversary of the decimation of the Garvey Movement and his imprisonment in Atlanta, Georgia, I think in 1925. It's the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II and the dropping, the savage dropping and detonating of the from the Nola Gay, the atomic bombs on both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. 70th anniversary, the 60th anniversary of the Bandung Conference, Emmett Till's vicious murder, the beginning of the Montgomery Movement, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Malcolm Shabazz, the 50th anniversary of Selma to Montgomery March, the 50th anniversary of Watts' insurrection in L.A. in 1965, the 50th anniversary of the Immigration Act, of the fall, I think, of 1965, which opened up the door for large-scale immigration, especially Eastern Muslims into this country, Muslims from all over the world. But none of those anniversaries are key. The 40th anniversary of the Imam's 1975 missionary kickoff is the key. Well, brother, you're always trying to make this and that with the Imam. In 2015, one of the first conflicting, hottest policy and political bills coming out of the U.S. House and Senate which is going to precipitate a confrontation with President Barack Hussein Obama. It's called the Keystone Pipeline. But many people just hear that Keystone. Yes, the key stone, the key. The Imam said a stone represents a principle of knowledge. The key principle of knowledge for 2015 is that out of all these major impact anniversaries, the 40th anniversary of the mission of Imam Muhammad is by far the most important. And that Keystone is not called Keystone 100. That key to the important events of 2015 is not called Keystone 70. It's not called Keystone 50 or Keystone 60. Yes, they use a Roman numeral, Keystone XL. What is that? The last time I checked, XL was Roman numeral for 40. Oh, yeah. So the key to this year, the keystone of understanding, the stone that the builders do not want to acknowledge, they'll commemorate everything else, even African-American-oriented 50th anniversary of Emmett Till and Selma, March. And in August, they'll probably even mention the Watts Rise or the Watts Insurrection. But you won't hear them talking about the key that Allah in his subtlety is pointing out in this very mundane or mundane activity, this very worldly or worldly activity, hardcore governmental policy and conflict. But within that, a hardcore reality, secular reality, underlying all that, in the unseen is a message emphasizing that party, Keystone XL. Yeah, but brother, this is the 49th Super Bowl. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But the Super Bowl is not called a keystone. We're looking for the keys to give these 17 million keys so that we can come into clear understanding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is orchestrating and coordinating on the planet today. Oh, yes. Let's move on. We don't have a lot of time. This is 2015. Now, in the 20th century, the predominant theme in that century was the 19 Merriam. In the key year in the 20th century was 1919. And in 1975, the Imam came along and resurrected, based upon Surah 75, resurrected the true understanding on the planet, brought it out of Quran. Not only the true understanding about Isa, but the true explanation of what his nature and what his mission was and what he represented in terms of prophetic evolutionary development on the planet. But this 21st century is under the vibrational tone of Surah 20. Taha. And in that Surah, Umar, the Imam said, if the Quran, if it ever was a mountain, that this Quran, this, if it was a mountain, I'm paraphrasing, this Quran could shake it. And he said, when the mighty Umar converted, when his relatives were reading Surah 20, then the Quran shook that mighty mountain of Quraysh authority, Umar ibn Khattab. So, can expect throughout this century to see governments shaken by big problems, as the ma'am said, that they cannot solve. Now, the schemers plan for them to try to come and prostrate before them and look for salvation. But they plan an Allah plan. And his plan is for the reality of the Quran, Al-Quran, to shake these governments. And Imam said men are going to have to humble themselves and acknowledge that they cannot solve these complex, multifaceted, multidimensional problems of 8 billion people on this planet without divine help. But each year, we'll give a variation on that general tone in this 20th century, as reflected in Surah Taha. So this year, as last year, we looked to Surah Ibrahim, and we pointed out strangely that this Asian country, just like we had our Abe Lincoln, they had their president last year named Abe. So we had to stand Abraham out. Allah stood him out. Ibrahim, our father, peace be upon him, from Judaic, Western, or Islamic culture, and made it unusual where the leader of Japan is named Abe or Abraham. And if you studied global events last year, you could see how many interesting things came out of Japan. But this year, it's 2015. So the underlying tone should be reflected in the great wisdom of Surah 15. The rocky track. Let's go and take a look at Surah 15 and see how Allah and His, the Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, the one who's exalted in might, the wise, how He has coordinated this year, maneuvered this year to comport with the major theme in Surah 15. Let me go to the first theme, inshallah. And the first theme is kind of complex, but I'll try to explain it briefly because we're in a hurry. If we look at Surah 15, and let's go to this theme reflected, first of all, in the surah starts off that this ayah, these signs make things clear. So from this XL with the man 40th anniversary, we can look for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the prophecy in Bible, which says all eyes shall see him. The prophecy in Quran, which says in essence that we will see things with a certainty of sight. We shall see him with a certainty of sight. Now in Ayah 16, it talks about Adam and they say Tani Rajim. It is we who have set out the zodiacal signs in the heaven and made them fair-seeming to the beholders. From ancient times, the sages and seers on the planet have studied the symbolism of the zodiac, and have tried to extract the divine wisdom contained therein. They have come up with a whole system of metaphorical and symbolic knowledge to try to extract the knowledge. But every time they go up in that knowledge, there's something that repels them, according to Quran. So they're never blessed to get the complete understanding. But they get some understanding. And so now, how is that related to 2015? When the Supreme Court make a decision in the next couple of months, this world schemers would have completed a scheme that they started back during the French Revolution. And they planned the stages in the scheme to fit with certain heavenly geometric configuration among two planetary bodies that represent the forces in the human makeup that they wanted to stimulate in order to bring their scheme to a conclusion in this day and time. To get a detailed understanding of this, dearly beloved audience, I suggest that you go and get your copy of this book by Richard Tarnas. The title of the book is Cosmos and Psyche, Intimations of a New World View. Intimations of a New World View. And you'll get a detailed explanation of what I'm about to just rush through in a few minutes. The two planetary bodies that they have been clocking this movement to in terms of geometric configurations, starting with the French Revolution, the fifth decade in the 19th century, the 1840s, the last decade of the 19th century, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was born, the 1960s of the 20th century, and now bringing the scheme to a head, starting with 2008, the period between 2008 and 2020. Yes, this is how they finding the zodiac bound semen. That means they try to extract a knowledge that they can use to give them wisdom to perpetuate their scheme. Now, these two planets are called Uranus and Pluto. Now, even though they demoted Pluto, they still use these esoteric scientists still use the symbolism associated with that planet. And yet very briefly, Uranus supposed to represent the Promethean urge. You know, in that myth in the West, Prometheus brought something to liberate. So now the scheme dealt with liberating the id and the libido in the human being until we got to the point where sexual liberation was complete with the same-sex marriage case that's going to come down the pipe in the U.S. Supreme Court. Gutted the voting rights bill. All so-called conservative with that. But getting ready to render the most liberating decision in terms of family life and sex in the history of mankind. I thought Roberts was so conservative. I thought Thomas was so conservative. I thought Alito was so conservative. I thought Scalia was so conservative. I thought Kennedy would be the balancing swing vote. But no, not with this issue. Nobody within the systemic order of power is going to get in the way of this scheme to bring this movement to a completion. When these forces were let loose in so-called a liberational sense in the French Revolution. So this is how they classify what happens in these periods. What periods? When these two planets are what's called conjoined with each other, closely located in the sky, when they are 180 degrees from each other in the heavenly order, in the heavenly wheel, when they are 90 degrees away from each other in the heavenly order and in the heavenly wheel. As they complete, see, 90 degrees represent the square. And when things are in square, there's great tension. So during this period of the square, the tension create energy. And they have orchestrated movement in America the last 4 or 5 years. You go back 4 or 5 years ago, most of the states in America prohibited same-sex marriage. Almost overnight. Intensified liberation from traditional marriage has occurred. Now it's legal in almost 38 states. In the Supreme Court, getting ready in the next 2 months to make it the supreme law of the land. That's not no constitutional law decision. That's a decision that had been developing for over 200 years. French Revolution. The liberation of forces in the decade of the 1840s. Marx come along with liberation of man and Marxism. In the latter part of the 19th century, Sigmund Freud lays the psychological foundation in his interpretation of dreams to let loose the id in the libido, the sex drive. And then in the mid-20th century, here comes free love. Here comes the miniskirt. Here comes the pill. Here comes a gay revolution. Gay liberation. Here come women liberation. All of these things have been designed. And they coordinate them based upon the physical, geometric alignment of these two heavenly bodies. Look what they call these periods. Say, if you study all these periods, there was an awakening of the Dionysian in the human being. The Dionysian is the primitive raw id, what we would call the gen. Quranic information would call it the gen in the human being. Also, they call these periods of erotic emancipation, where the metaphorical liberational influence of the Promethean archetype working in a relationship with the underworld forces of Hades and Pluto, the sex drive, the animal instinct, unchecked by knowledge. So this particular author go back and break down all those periods and show that they all had in common these two themes of awakening of the Dionysian. And in the 60s, the rocker by the name of Jim Morrison embodied that Dionysian archetype to the hill. And this liberation said Prometheus brought the fire, and they had this song that was the Doors. They had this song that was very, very popular. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on and liberate my animal heat. Liberate my Dionysian instinct. Liberate my sexual ecstasy. Come on, baby, and light my fire. So Quran, in Surah 15, text this. And in a sense, Allah is revealing that this would be the year that they tried to complete that scheme. When the natural laws of the human, animal, and sexual urges totally distorted. Where same-sex marriage become universal in America, supported by 9 Supreme Court justices. I got to move on. And in that same surah, there's a story about Lot. That's big. Ayah 61. It lists when the messengers arrived among the adherents of Lot. Peace be upon him. Oh, yes. And we know the story, but you see how content and substance of the story of Lot is connected to what we just talked about in the earlier part of Surah 15, the zodiacal signs. And finally, as for Surah 15, let's see, can we make a contemporary connection other than the 40th anniversary of the Imam mission? In my opinion, the most important event of 2015 is when they suddenly brought up out under the radar that David Petraeus, former architect of military policy in Iraq, former head of the CIA, could be in a position where he could be indicted. Now, what does that have to do with Surah 15, brother? We're going to explain it, inshallah. The main theme of Surah 15, based upon the name of the surah, the rocky track, is related to the land of the Thamud, where Allah sent Prophet Saleh to bring warning. Well, that particular land is called Arabia Petraea. And that Petraea is almost spelled exactly like Petraeus. I think they had a U in his name. And we know that in the land of Thamud, Allah ordered them not to hamstring the she camel. And they hamstrung the she camel, excuse me. And why did Petraeus get in trouble? Because the plutonic Dionysian libido-driven Eve made him do certain things in relation to a she, a female. And this female had the feminine name of the so-called Apostle Paul. And Paul made the Edomite, the Gentile, drink from a broad well of distorted theological principles, where he physicalized theology. When he said God Almighty incarnated in the Son and that Jesus was divine. Do you understand? So this lady was not named Paul. She was named Paula in reference to the feminine, in reference to the she-camel. And that's what Paul's doctrine did, the Pauline doctrine. Hamstrung. The she-camel in the West. And the West ended up with a dualistic mindset based upon the idea of Cartesian philosophy, a physicalized God and a materialized philosophy, which led to a materialized Newtonian science. And the forces of inspiration, the forces of circumspection, the forces of intuitive refinement in the make of the West became hamstrung because of the teachings of Paul. It took Prophet Muhammad to come with Quran Kareem, and it freed up the she-camel in the human being. Allow the she-camel in the Imam Muhammad, do you understand, to be liberated. Oh, yes, 2015, this zodiacal scheme coming to a conclusion. 2015, the theme of loot and that corruption coming to a head with the Supreme Court decision, the judgment based upon ICLAS in the conclusion of the debate between Pauline doctrine and pure oneness of God, coming to a conclusion. Both David, the son of Jacob, and the Gentile, the son of Peter, betrayers, said before Peter, the church, cold, three times. You don't hear betray and portrayer, but you hear betrayers, but you don't hear. Said before the cock crowed three times. You will betray us. Dearly beloved people, you are listening to a donkey speaking with a man's voice on a staunch, dedicated support of Imam Muhammad, who loves his people. Only that kind of donkey can halfway be blessed with this cursory understanding. When that donkey began to speaking, it became circumspect, just like a camel. And the she-camel that had been hamstrung when Balaam struck him three times was liberated. Now let's go and flesh out these themes in parallel. Parallel 1, Super Bowl 49. And the alleged murder by Marion Suge Knight, the rap mogul out of California. It's two forces in America that has helped liberate the id and the libido, one of them being Baal worship. And you can't find no greater worship of Baal worship than the Super Bowl. They knew that, and they know that after this year, you're going to have the Jubilee. And in Jewish culture, the 50th year is related to the Satans. So they began to Satanize this thing when this controversy came up about balls. They're playing this ball and they're playing that ball and then playing this ball and then playing that ball, playing on sexual connotation. You look at the pundits, you look at the comedians, all of them were bouncing off of that thing, catching the implications of all of that. The other force that stimulated comes from the culture of death. And one of the main influences in the culture of death is the music, especially rap music. So we see musical influences. Sports, another form of entertainment, ball worship, playing into these earlier things. But we also see this merciful sign that ties into Selma with Marion Knight. Because in Selma, it was in Marion, Alabama, where they had a night march where Jimmie Lee Jackson was murdered that triggered the energies to bring about a successful culmination of that movement. And tonight, they have established this irony where a man who has a morning show, his name is that after Prophet Yusuf. His name is Joe Scarborough. And even though he's the man of the morning hour, he's being given prime time tonight to do his thing. And God says in the Quran, tell the believers to travel by night. But our people, after Selma, stopped traveling by night. They got caught up in the daytime pleasures of an explosion of the Dionysian in the late 60s. Drugs, partying, sexing, freaking. Only Mayor Muhammad continued to travel by night and did not get caught up into that exaggerated pleasure pursuit. And see, this ball game is occurring in Phoenix, and we know what Phoenix symbolizes, and we know why Joe is there, why Yusuf is there. The man who continued to travel by night became a sort of prototypical Yusuf in terms of Allah giving him the storehouse of scripture. Morning Joe at night, Marion Suge night, Marion, Alabama, Jimmie Lee Jackson, the Selma movement occurring at a night march. David and Peter, David and Esau, did not want us as African Americans to undergo a Phoenix rebirth from slavery to freedom, no longer enslaved by the drives of the flesh. And we can see this when we parallel the two stories in the news where David Duke is back in the news when he turned against this Louisiana congressman, call him a sellout because he disavowed his meeting with David Duke. I've said in three shows ago, Duke is the people of Edom, Esau, the Edomite, the Duke, the political forces, and David represents the forces of Jacob, the prince of the air, not looking for political dominance in government, but ruling from the air. And look what happened. At Duke University, we see a sign where this, about 3 weeks ago, they didn't want Muslim calling the dawn, based upon complaints by Billy Graham, son Franklin, who represent the Franks that stopped intrusion of Muslims into Europe. But they had a governor in North Carolina, the same state that Graham was in the mid-50s, named Frank Graham. And he was very liberal when it came to African Americans getting their state de jure political rights. But when it comes to us to not get the right to vote or participate in the outward state, but the free our inward state, to devote ourselves to whatever we want to, to follow our rational, sober mind, like this fellow named who was dismissed at Duke, Rashid, in the coming to the wisdom of Suleiman. Everybody have Rashid and Suleiman in his name. He was dismissed. Franklin Graham didn't want that. He wants us to continue to follow the interstate mindset that they gave us with that corrupt Pauline doctrine. How can all these events flow together like this, dearly beloved brothers and sisters, if Allah was not firmly on the throne of authority? Imam Muhammad traveled by night after the civil rights movement completed in Selma, and even in the Nation of Islam, the minister with their fineries and stuff, living a corrupt daylight life, running after the spoils of war, running after the victory, running after the booty. The prophet told him, look, archer, you keep your arrows high. Keep your spiritual aspirations high. Travel by night. Make your prayer. Be true to Allah. Don't get caught up into the consumption of pleasure. Don't become hedonistic. Don't go after the spoils of war. Because if you do, the cavalry, they're going to come up to you, the cavalry, and go to your, see that horse has power in the hind leg, going to go to your subconscious mind, the seed of animal instinct, the seed of Pluto, the underworld, the seed of the id, the seed of the libido. He already told you that he's going to come at us with his cavalry. We talking about Satan in the Quran. Satan. So in that battle, the prophet said, don't let Satan get you. Keep your arrows high. Keep your high aspirations. But the forces of the civil rights movement got to running after position and money and power. Same thing in the Nation of Islam. But Imam Muhammad kept traveling by night. And Allah gave him the Rashid, the sober guidance, and blessed him with the wisdom and understanding of Suleiman. Dearly beloved people, again, I've given you a lot to chew on today, but we say, alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah for his majesty and his might, for his subtlety. He's El Latif, he's El Kabir. He understands the finest of mysteries. And our people said way back when, before we were tested, with the booty. We'll understand it better by and by. And they used to say, our Lord works in mysterious ways.
At wonders to perform.
Yes, sir, brother Imam. And this is what we see happening right before our eyes. Not one event was made up. Not one connection was exaggerated. All of the connection is rooted in the archetype of principles of Scripture. And we're going to be patient. We're going to travel by night. We're going to stay within our Quranic and Islamic discipline. We're not going to get caught up running after booty of this world life. We're not going to be spoiled by this blanket release of the Dionysian in the culture of death in America. We're going to stay away from that. But we're going to reach down in the muck and the mire and try to pull those 17 keys out of that. So, dearly beloved Muslims, we thank you for your time. Dearly beloved listeners, it's time for me to bring this to a close. I don't have a lot of time. Brother Imam, I turn it over to you. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Brother Imam, I have two questions before you go on your night journey. One
yes,
is
sir.
About the great state of Alabama, where one of your legislators has said right in the heart of Dixie, she is prepared to out all the adulterers if they don't approve her lifestyle. That's question
number one. I know of her. She was in the state house with me. She's out of Birmingham, Representative Todd. And I must admit, when I came into the state house, the Republicans was playing with a sanctity of marriage bill. The Democrats were afraid of it. So the Speaker came around and mentioned it, and I said, I'll sponsor it. Republicans didn't really sponsor it. They talked a good game. I sponsored it. And the bill was passed. But two things happened during that debate as I get ready to go. I went on television and I debated a brother by the name of Avin Holmes, still in the state house. And we had a strong constitutional debate, and he said, Salam, the bill won't stand forever. I knew he was telling the truth. I knew eventually that this scheme would slow walk the bill. But 2 years later, Ms. Todd came in, and they really, some people got up and acknowledged her as the first openly gay member in the House of Representatives in Alabama. She's firm and she's strong, and I wouldn't take that threat as a bluff, Brother Imam. She's capable of doing that. Ain't no shame in her game.
Yes, sir. Well, let's ask an even more painful question. Ms. Todd, bless her heart, as we would say in the South, and I will say again, as our ancestors would say, we'll understand it by and by. But now, thank God, our ancestors' prayers have been answered. We understand what happened. You just explained them. I want to ask you one last question, one painful question, and ask you, are you familiar with Attorney Jeffrey Sterling? Former CIA.
No, I'm not, Brother Imam. I'm not familiar with him. Why? I got my folks here waiting, but why are you asking me that, my brother, so we can talk
CIA
about it?
That sued the CIA, African-American CIA agent, sued the CIA for discrimination. He was an agent, a case officer on the Iranian desk. The CIA fired him for being too tall and saying that since he was African-American, he could not develop agents. However, later on, James Reason of the New York Times was charged with revealing state secrets. Reason was eventually exonerated, not charged.
Brother Imam, I got to have peace in the valley tonight. And
yes,
I'm getting
sir. Well, let me let you go.
Granddaughters and my wife,
the
I better go.
Yes, sir.
Gotta
thank
have
you.
Peace in the ballot tonight.
Yes, sir. Give the family my regards. and enjoy your time with the family. Thank you.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another edition of Religion Means Alive. When our brother happened to leave us, I'm going to leave too. If anybody else would like to ask a question or make a comment, I would certainly entertain it. But I just wanted to finish it up. An African-American who worked for the CIA, actually as an agent, you know, in any, all governments, they have people who have to gather intelligence. His brother was working on the Iranian desk. So he was convicted and is waiting sentencing that could be 20 or 30 years. The Caucasian that he supposedly had given the information to in the New York Times, I don't think they proved that case, has now been, you know, he's let off. The brother's on his way to maybe doing 20 or 30 years in jail. I wonder, did anybody have any opinions on that? If not, we're going to close it out. I would like to say to our audience that I am very pressed for funds. Those who know me can call me at 908-463-4843. I will tell you instructions as how you can send monies to me, but I have to have a certain amount of money by Tuesday to keep this broadcast on. We need donations desperately. Some of you might get calls from me. I hate asking you, but I do need the money. So if you call me at 908-463-4843, I'll give you the bank account number and tell you how you can get donations to us. Those who don't, please send your prayers. Whatever you could send to help us. Some of our enemies have actually gone out and told people that the program is free, that we don't have to pay for Blog Talk. Well, they want to hurt us. And they've also been successful in pulling away a couple of people that donate to us. So we're in a battle. Our numbers have increased, but we're battling. So I'm a bit disturbed that on February the 20th, with your support, we will be this Jumma Khatib at the Savior's Day of the 40th year anniversary of Imam Muhammad's leadership. Your brother will be the Savior's Day Khatib and the speaker, one of the speakers, at the Savior's Day convention as a result of your prayers and your hard work. So if anyone, I'm going to be on the air about another 2 or 3 minutes. If you're on the air, you can just press 1 if you're listening by phone. If you're not listening by phone, just dial 805-727-7013. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about taxes and financial life with Ms. Baker, an accountant. She's going to be on with us. Sunday, I'm coming on about the necessity for new re-education of our people. The necessity for re-education of our people. You know, we've been dealt a really, really difficult hand. I won't say been dealt a deathly blow. We haven't. God has given us, on the one hand, the greatest understanding, the greatest amount of light any people have known in history. But our lives have been a very challenged life. Do you know, as my dear friend Brother Deep Shacker said to me the other day, he called me up sudden. We don't never call each other to talk this triviality. He says, you know, Brother Imam, our people have actually, this is a big experiment, to take a people that have been made a nigger and bring them into Al-Islam. And I told him, yes, brother, I agree with you. That's why I've been known as the de-niggerification imam. Because the first person I'm trying to de-niggerify is myself. I understand that slavery in its cruel aftermath, not just slavery, but its cruel aftermath, has put us in a real jam. And we're going to have to make a down payment towards eradicating the effects of slavery. And I you know, I read something by Imam Muhammad. I'm going to try to find it, that a brother posted from Elijahville. And it's really a very, very telling thing. I'm going to try to find it. What, Imam? Anybody would like to make a comment while I look for that? I don't like to hold you up, but I'm going to try to find this. It was posted. Yesterday. Well, we haven't been able to find it. I hope they haven't found by okay, if anybody, okay, great. Yes, sir, dear beloved. I heard from my dear friend, Amin Muhammad from California.
Assalamualaikum, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we turn again.
Good, good. You know, I heard you talk about Rick Ross several times, and I never really got an understanding of who Rick Ross was. Now, one, Rick Ross was a notorious drug dealer that was hooked up with the CIA accidentally. He didn't really know. But it's also a Rick Ross, I think he was a prison guard, and I've heard you talk about him. Well, the kids at the school today, I mean this week, was telling me that Rick Ross has a lyric in his song where he put some type of chemical in a girl's drink, and he's able to have sex with her. You know, and I said, is that really on a record? And he said, yes, it's a rap song, and he brags about that. So could you maybe explain a little bit about Rick Ross that I didn't know it, you know?
He has stolen the name just like 50 Cent, Mr. Jackson, stole the name of a notorious criminal called 50 Cent in New York from Fort Greene. Rick Ross stole Freeway Rick's name. Now, his real official name is Mr. Shepard, and he was a correctional officer for the Corrections Department. I don't know which state he was a part of. But he took on the name of Rick Ross, who was a notorious criminal and drug dealer, who, as you said correctly, was misused by the CIA and handled by the CIA. So they are manufacturing these criminal minds. What Rick Ross is, Mr. Shepard is, that's his real name. His bosses have told him we need to rape women. So if they can get African Americans and other marginalized people to use. See, these rap videos and rap songs are highly suggestible. And unless a child has a barrier on, it's going to enter their mind and they're going to act it out. Much of the killings, much of the gangbanging has been induced by the music, just as our generation was induced by Iceberg Slim. Much of our generation was induced by Superfly. Now, people say, well, no, it's just music. No, culture makes you. That's why a man that's a Yoruba is going to be a Yoruba man 1,000 years from now, because he's induced by that culture. We are not induced by our own culture. We're induced by the popular culture. And Satan has become the prince of the air. I mean, he's the prince of employment. So, yeah, that's Rick Ross. Not no surprise. That's the kind of garbage he's sending out. Poison.
Yeah.
He stole Freeway Rick's materials. That's what he did.
Well, I do know that more and more information is coming out on the internet about that secret meeting. And it's a little youngster named, very bright little youngster. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Are you there? Yeah, yeah.
I'm still here.
It's a very bright youngster who who have researched a little bit of the allegations in that secret, the secret meeting that changed rap music and started a generation. That's the name of that letter. It's kind of like a Willie Lynch letter, you know. And this youngster named they call him Homeboy Sandman, and he did.
Well, I mean, Homeboy Sandman, and even the person that did the Willie Lynch story has done us a great service, because they have been able to put in maybe mythological form a description of what most of our intellectuals would never be able to transmit to our people. That's why I'm so against a lot of our intellectuals who are critical of the Willie Lynch story. I know it's fictional. I know the other thing is fictional. But you know what? Sometimes fiction and myths can explain something more profound in 10,000 volumes. So both of them is right. I want to read something to the audience that Imam Muhammad said July the 29th, 1983, and it's very relevant now. I found it. The country, this country has been telling the wise and also the foolish that this burden of the black man is a problem for America and all of these African Americans, and that they are not established. They are not established economically, Imam Muhammad continues. Okay, economically, they don't have established leadership. When it comes to managing their home life, these leaders would tell us about how to go and argue at the White House. They would tell us how to go and argue in Congress. They would tell us how to protest on our city streets. But these leaders are not telling us how to manage our family life and how to live in our home. And for that reason, our homes are not established. For that reason, our neighbors are not established. For that reason, the great population of North, Gary, Chicago, and other places are not established. And we are a dependent colony, waiting on the White House and waiting on the president, waiting on a lover to come in the White House, somebody who loves all blacks, waiting on him to come in there and do something for us. This is a shameful situation. When we look at the Asians come over here from Korea, the Asians come over here from different parts of Asia, and the Haitians are coming over here, and the Cubans are coming over here, and the Chinese have been over here. And in a little while, in a few years, and sometime in a few months, they have changed the character of a particular neighborhood. They have established strong businesses. They are moving forward. They are taking advantage of the opportunity to grow in this free enterprise system. And still there are so many millions of blacks without structure, without structures in their home, without structures in their neighborhood, without anything that they themselves are responsible for holding up except a temporary opportunity to work for somebody else, to come in on somebody else's thing. It's time that we come in on our own thing and be successful. That's Imam Muhammad. This was at Elijah Bill, July the 29th, 1983. Now, dear people, this is just as relevant now as it was. And let me tell you something. I just heard some African Americans say to me yesterday that they went to a meeting and they heard that the Hispanics had come in this country, the government had given them loans. That's how they're able to buy houses. We should be ashamed of ourselves to just stop being spooky. But we could go to a multi-level marketing meeting. I get so many invitations to join some multi-level marketing scheme. But nobody has told me how we could build. They'll tell you about 9 links and 10 links and this way and that way. But we got products in this country that we're producing. And why aren't we selling those products? Why don't we get a step? Why don't we establish leadership in our homes? Why don't we establish leadership in our neighborhood? Why don't we establish leadership in our family? Why don't we establish leadership among our carpenters? Why don't we establish leadership among our brick masons? Leadership among our teachers in every endeavor in life. And say, we're going to work our people to the top. Well, I'm tired of talking. The last weekend in July, we're going to have a 3-day get-together. I don't call it conference, whatever you want to call it. in North New Jersey, in Wheatway Park, Yuma, so we know our ancestors back home worship. Our ancestors came from Muslim background. We then will have Saturday conferences and workshops. I hope that we'll have the 9 committees and BAP, Blight Arrested Pioneer Patrol, New Earth Team. All the programs of Imam Muhammad will be put before our people first and foremost. And we're going to talk about how to establish our people. Time for us to get some establishment. Time for us to counteract Rick Ross. Time for us to counteract Snoop Doggy Dogg and all the rest of these cultural icons that they've put out here to destroy us. These brothers are not bad by nature. I'm not saying they are. They're trying to get a paycheck. But that's not the way to get a paycheck. I don't agree with Suge Knight. I don't agree with any of them guys' methods. To me, they're no different than what Nicky Barnes did, what the number bankers did, what all the rest of them did. It's just trying to get something for themselves. We need something for our group. So I really thank you, Brother Amin Muhammad. I thank all the rest of you all. I believe we're on the way. I believe there's enough of us committed and determined, and we're going to get our people home. I hope I answered your question.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir, brother. Yeah, this is really email. Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else before we go? That's it. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You listen once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you.